there's plenty of miserable rich people, miserable famous people, miserable influential people, because they skipped over the real secrets to the blessed, successful life. Reverence God. Enjoy the fruits of the labors of your hands. Cultivate your wife so that she flourishes in your home.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
And again, good morning, and God bless you for being here this day. I want to speak this morning from the 128th Psalm. It has a component that is about labor as we come into our Labor Day celebration, but it is really more about what I would call the blessed life. And when you have work and blessing as two bases of the triangle, David sees this peak up here called success. Work, blessing, success. It's a mighty good picture of a life to strive for. Now, I want to say, as I set out, that I have just absolutely shamelessly stolen one point of this sermon. And I always give credit. I don't know the preacher's name. I was listening on the Oasis Network, and it wasn't a preacher I was familiar with, but he said this thing, and it struck me, so I stole it. And I present it to you today, and there are 5 points in this picture of the blessed, successful life. And if you care to try to guess, you can tell me afterward which of the 5 points you think I stole, and I will tell you if you are right. Nobody from the 8 o'clock service hazarded a guess, at least not to me. If they did so, they did so to someone else. As I tried to tell the kids, both covenants, old and new, the word blessed is synonymous with the word happy. When you say blessed are the poor of spirit, you're saying happy are the poor of spirit. They are happy, content, satisfied, because this is the state that a person enjoys when they are in a right relationship with their God. If the way that you are conducting your walk with God does not leave you happy, satisfied, content, then you are not doing it right. God greatly desires to make you happy. And success in this life is largely the receiving of that happiness from God. Did you know that you can also bless God in return? There are things that you can do that will make Him happy, that will be pleasing to Him. And in all situations like this, the blessings flow both ways. There are 5 points of this picture in Psalm number 128, and all of them important. Though if you were to take the worldly definition of success, these not only would not be the top 5, they would not be in the top 10 or the top 20 or probably the top 100, maybe a couple of them. might be, but they would not be the top five. And some of them are completely opposite the world's expectations and the world's definition for success, but that is not surprising. Number one, the first mark of a successful, blessed life. A person fears God. Now, there are lots of words in the Bible that get translated fear, and some of them are just exactly what we mean when we say fear, that you are just afraid of, terrified of something. And there is a place for that kind of fear of the Lord. It is often just the thing to be terrified of His righteous anger and His judgment. But I want you to know that that is not the relationship God wants to have with you, His children. It is the relationship that is left if you opt out of the one that He wants. But be assured, God does not plan for you to spend the rest of your eternity looking over your shoulder and going with nervous tics because you are constantly afraid of what He is going to do. This fear means something more like reverencing God. The first sign of a successful, blessed life is when a man or a woman reverences God. And this also makes perfect sense when you think about it. I will give you an unlikely scenario, but let's just say that for whatever reason, in whatever fashion, I become a long-term resident in the house of, say, Dick and Ann Sutton. See Ann jump back there. I occupy whatever spare room they have. I eat at their table. I become a long-term house guest of Dick and Ann Sutton. But what if I don't like Dick and Ann's rules for their household? What if I find the life that they live in their house to be either stifling or chaotic or foolish in some sense, whatever? I will not be happy in their house, because I will not be happy with the house rules of their house. And given that, do you think that as a guest, I will make them happy? And the answer is no, because blessing or lack thereof always flows both ways. Do you know whose house we live in? The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all them that dwell therein, and not just the earth, the universe, all of creation, space and time, it belongs to God. If we do not reverence Him, if we have no respect for the kind of life that He, as the creator and sustainer of all, would have us to live, we will not be happy in His house. And we will not make Him happy. And then all that remains for us is that other kind of fear. But again, that's not what He's looking for. So the very first sign of a successful life is that a person reverences God. I have repeated this several times lately because I think it's profoundly true. There are two pillars for atheism. Pillar number one, there is no God. Pillar number two, and I hate Him. Think about it. All of us know, at least everyone in the world deeply suspects, that there must be a God. all of this did not arise by accident from nothing. And He has planted the hidden seed of eternity in our hearts, and we feel it, and we all know. But if we will not respect the life that He would have us to live, we will never be happy in His house. Not in this world, nor especially in the world to come. Reverence God, first picture of a successful, blessed life. Second point, which is where the intersection with Labor Day comes in. A man will be satisfied because he eats the fruit of his own labors, the fruit of his own hands. You know, Russ was in a conversation this week where I heard him say, said, "I'm funny, I don't like to eat sweet corn if I didn't grow it." You remember saying that, Russ? Yeah. And maybe Russ is funny that way. But I understand something of what he's saying, although I will eat other people's sweet corn. Feel free to drop it off at the house. And I think this is especially true of men. It will also be true to women to perhaps a slightly lesser degree, but I could be wrong about that, never having been a woman, never experiencing any gender confusion as seems to run rampant these days. But I know at least the men here will agree with me. There is a profound satisfaction in knowing that it is with the labor of these hands that I provide sustenance and shelter and safety for my family. It is not a curse, this work thing. It's made harder by the curse that descends in Genesis 3, but when God planted that first garden, it was Adam and Eve's job to tend it. And it would be the job of their descendants as they moved out into the world to transform all of the wild earth into something like the garden which God planted. And this would be a blessing, and we would know the blessing, the happiness, the contentment that comes with enjoying the fruit of one's labors. The same spirit that would deceive you into despising God rather than reverencing Him would deceive you into thinking, here's happiness if I could just laze around all the time and everything would be given me. That does not sound like blessing to me. And I understand that Paul wasn't just being cruel when he said that person who won't work shouldn't eat either. The most succinct description of corrupt political and economic systems on this earth that I have ever heard goes like this: I work, but he eats. Do you follow me? This describes slavery. I work, but he eats. This describes economic exploitation, even short of slavery. I work, but all the blessing is soaked up over there. Here is the description of the system as God pictures it. I work, and I enjoy the fruits of my labor. The second sign of a successful, blessed life. It begins with reverencing God. It continues with knowing the joys of providing for your family the fruits of the work of your hands. The third point, your wife will be a, and I realize this speaks almost exclusively to men, and I'm not going to expand this to say anything about women. I will only assure all you ladies that on some other occasion I'll take another scripture which speaks directly to you, but I've got this scripture today, and it says here's the third sign of success and blessing. Your wife will be a fruitful vine in your house. And this refers in part to childbearing, which we'll come to in a moment, but that is not the extent of the picture. You can say your wife will flourish in your house, because good fruit does not come from a poor, puny, sick, neglected, starving vine. It takes cultivation to raise a good vine from which will come good fruit. Who would like to guess, if maybe there's somebody here who might know, the diameter of the officially recorded largest grapevine on the planet? Someone who was not in the 8 o'clock service. Go ahead, Gary.
6 feet.
6 feet. 6 feet at the trunk. 6 feet. It's 250 years old. It's in Hampton Court in England, the ancestral home of Henry VIII. 6 feet across. The longest uninterrupted vine, called a rod in vineyard terms, is 120 feet long. It's called the grapevine. Great reason for that. The grapevine. The average harvest is 600 and some pounds. The record harvest is nearly 850 pounds. It's on its fourth greenhouse, because the whole thing is enclosed by a greenhouse and has been for a long time, but there have been four of them because it keeps growing. The fourth one was built in 1969 and had to be built over the existing one because the vine had become so wrapped around and entangled that it was impossible to get it loose without hurting it. So they built the new one over and around the old one, and then just took the glass off the old one and left the steel structure. 250 years old, it is on its 11th full-time vine tender. The 10th one retired just recently. And that guy is busy from February, when he turns the greenhouse on, until October, when he shuts it down. He waters, he fertilizes, he prunes, he thins. He selects the flowers to keep because of their size and location. He removes the leaves that will allow the sunlight to fall directly on the clusters of fruit. Most of the year, he sees to the needs of the grapevine. There's a little path, because there's a heavy tourist trade to see the grapevine. Little path that you walk on, you can't get off the path. All that dirt is protected because under it are the roots of the vine. And no one is allowed to walk on that soft, loamy earth where the roots of the grapevine lie underneath. In other words, how do you get to be the biggest, finest, most productive vine on the planet? Constant protection, tending, and cultivation. Here I must tell you that I am probably most guilty of all the men in this sanctuary. I do not do enough to see that my wife flourishes in my home. It is something we should all strive toward. In part because the marriage relationship is again a picture of our relationship with God, and the blessing flows both ways. The more the wife flourishes, the more blessed the husband. We have shortened this down to a phrase that everybody knows. Happy wife, happy life, they say. I heard a couple of people laughing, but it sounds like women, so that's okay. They're laughing harder now. Reverence God. Enjoy the fruits of your own labors. Make your wife like a fruitful vine in your home. Related, your children will be like young olive plants around your table. Now, there's more here than we usually think at first glance. First, you should know that in biblical thought, the vine and the olive tree are the two primary pictures for the abundant life, physically and spiritually. You find it all through both covenants. The vine and the olive tree are the pictures of an abundant life. And then there's another thing. We do not have in Northeast Ohio much experience with olive trees, except those stupid Russian olives, which everybody wishes had never showed up. But I'll give you another chance to guess, those who were not here at 8 o'clock. If you plant an olive tree, plant a little olive seedling, about how long do you think before you can expect your first harvest? Forty years. It's an act of investment in the future to plant an olive grove. If you plant it when you're 20, you can figure to begin harvesting when you're 60. If you plant it when you're 60, it's for your grandkids. But this is the picture. Your children will be like young olive plants around your table. A blessing that you plant for a generation yet to come. When you will no longer be here to pass the blessing on yourself, if you have established your children in the blessed, successful life, they will still be blessing the world behind you. Reverence God. Know and learn to enjoy the fruits of your own labors. Help your wife to flourish in your household. Let your children be like young olive plants who will one day after you carry forward the blessing. The one who makes it this far will probably automatically accomplish the fifth point in the picture of the successful and blessed life. He will see the prosperity of his community. For the psalm, that would be Israel and Jerusalem. But we don't live in Israel or Jerusalem. But if this picture describes us, we will contribute to the prosperity of East Canton, of Stark County. And I will tell you this, there is nothing better for any community anywhere than a group of practicing, believing, godly children of the Lord. When we live the blessed, successful life, the blessing radiates outward from us, and our community is blessed. And to see it becomes another blessing in return, because it always flows both ways. You may have noticed that in this description of the successful, blessed life, there was no mention of what kind of car a person might drive, or how big a house a person might live in, or how many dollars a person might have stashed in the bank, or how much power a person may have amassed into themselves, or how famous a person has become, or how influential a person's word is. None of these things that the world would so readily accept as the signs of success. Let me tell you that if you had them all, but you were not walking with God and reverencing Him from the beginning, none of them would make you happy. There's plenty of miserable rich people, miserable famous people, miserable influential people, because they skipped over the real secrets to the blessed, successful life. Reverence God. Enjoy the fruits of the labors of your hands. Cultivate your wife so that she flourishes in your home. Let your children be those young olive plants around your table, ready to carry the blessing forward. See and rejoice in the prosperity it all brings to your community. But always start at the beginning. Always start at the beginning. It starts with reverencing God. And if you're unhappy today, unsatisfied today, not living the blessed life today, go back to step number one. Reverence God. And let things proceed forward from there to what the Bible describes as successful, blessed living.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.